Speaking of sharing great stories, we've got Bill Malega here in the studio, Chapel Hill High School historian extraordinaire, who has got a winter lecture series ongoing right now at Chapel Hill High School, presented by the PTSA there. The second part is just launched. It's on gunpowder empires, and it's a four-part series, which is ongoing right now. Everyone is invited to that. Bill, thank you for joining us here in the studio today to talk about this.
Oh, well, thanks for having me back once again.
So tell us about the lecture series just in general, before we even get into the specifics of this one. How did they get started? What have you done with them?
Oh, well, God, several years ago, I was sitting around with like Suki Newton, Sandra Kamada, and we were trying to brainstorm ideas of how we could celebrate like what the high school does. We have all of this expertise, but how do we get it out there? How do people find out what's going on every day? And we came up with the idea of doing a lecture series. Back then it was part one of the Civil War and World War II. And we held a 10-week series just on the history of those two events. And we had no idea how it was going to go. And the room was filled with like 35 or 40 people. And we're like, wow, okay,
awesome.
We really, you know, we had, you know, parents of students. We had alumni. We had a retirement group show up. And it just...
You know, you're doing good when you can fill a classroom with people who do not have to be there.
Exactly.
Right? Like they want
exactly.
to be there.
Exactly. On a Thursday night from... You know, 7 to 8:30. As two show up, if only four show up, are we going to do it? And it is just, it has just just blown up on us. Mm-hmm. And then 2 years ago, I said, okay, guys, we've done World War II, Atlantic Pacific, we've done the Civil War, we've done World War I, in a series I cooked up literally at Mount Rushmore called Portraits of Leadership. These kind of unknown. Like American heroes.
Nice.
And I said, what else do you guys want to know about? And someone goes, I think it was Todd Boland, goes, well, how about, you know, world history? And I'm like, you serious? And I'm like, that's what I do. And he's like, yeah. So we started last year going from like Paleolithic, Neolithic man mm-hmm. up into like the high Middle Ages. And it was well attended. And we go, well, let's just do it again this year, which brings us to
just keep going beyond the Middle Ages.
And last year there was that like Greece, Rome, the classical Han Dynasty hook. This year for me is a lot more interesting because it's a lot of stuff that people don't know about. The West African empires, Ghana, Songhai, Mali, what was going on in the great Zimbabwe. So most people have that, unfortunately, Eurocentric view mm-hmm. of history. Well, what else was going on? You know, we got Mansa Musa going on his Hajj. We've got, you know, Sundiata. Well, Europe is in the midst of the Dark Ages. All this great, rich stuff going on that nobody knows about. So
really cool.
Yeah.
So that was part one this year.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
now we've got part two, which is Gunpowder Empires, which is the best name of all time for a lecture series.
You know, it's kind of the Gunpowder Empires of Asia and mm-hmm. some of the really cool absolute monarchs in the Western world. And I'm driving over here going, are they Jedi or are they Sith Lords? Or are they kind of a combination of both, like Otto von Bismarck in Germany? And what's great about the next couple weeks is we're going to learn to be an absolute monarch. You think, what does that word mean? Like, I am the captain of my ship, like an Egyptian pharaoh. I am in charge, but how do you get there?
Mm-hmm.
And then why do you get there? And once you're there, how do you maintain it? You got to run around with Sun Tzu in one hand and Machiavelli's the prince in the other, and you're always
looking over your shoulder.
Looking over your shoulder. So it starts kind of darkly, something that's not really talked about in world history a lot. To be an absolute monarch, you need a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So the transatlantic trade and the transatlantic slave trade factors in. Spanish find all this gold and silver. English and French have fur and cash crops. And they're taken based on all slave labor, will kill the Native Americans. And
right.
So, unfortunately, Europeans need a labor force. Well, can we go? What was Mali doing over there in West Africa? So here you have what I call the Lego aspect of world history, where everything starts coming together and you start seeing the modern world take shape. And so you get to this unlimited wealth. Like the Spanish Habsburgs have, you know, the Potosi silver mine, like 80% of the world's wealth comes right out of Peru. Well, what do you do with that? Well, that translates into like Louis the 14th, the Sun King, coming to power as a young boy and looking at all the court intrigue. And so we look at Louis the 14th in France. We look at Peter the Great in Russia, the Stuart dynasty, which has got a little funny ender here in England, with the Spanish Habsburgs, and we contrast with them with the gunpowder empires, the Ottomans with Suleiman the Magnificent, Akbar, the only guy that understood religious tolerance over in the great Mughal Empire, and then the Ming dynasty and the Japanese over in Asia. So looking at all the different parallels, and I know I'm talking a lot here, between all of those guys, masters of propaganda, every single one of them. Mm-hmm. It's why we build Versailles. It's why we build the Forbidden City. Small, very close cabinet. Don't know who we can trust, and we're going to stay hands-on. We're going to manage everything. We're going to run through things through, like, Don Corleone patronage. Well, you know, I'll do that for you, but it's going to cost you in the end. And we're going to see who succeeds and who fails. And the biggest failure to me is we have these guys who kind of have vision and they're larger than life personalities and unlimited wealth, and they all blow it.
Yeah.
They blow it all. And they get caught up in wars of religious dissent, and what could be just, you know, resounding greatness just pretty much all falls apart, and nobody trains a successor, mm-hmm. except the Ottoman Empire, if you don't mind a quick story. For those of you out there who are familiar with Hunger Games, the Ottoman Empire, literally the heirs to the throne, were trained in small villages and middle-sized towns, and then it was up to Allah who became the next Sultan. So the brothers had to outwit, outlast, and the last one standing got to be the next Sultan. So like real-life Hunger Games on the stage.
That's
so
incredible. We got Bill Malega here in the studio, Chapel Hill High School teacher. We're talking about the Winter Lecture Series, which is at Chapel Hill High School on Thursdays, right, continuing through March 8th. This is part two of the Winter Lecture Series. Gunpowder Empires is the title, but as you heard, it includes everything. European absolutism, the Renaissance, the Reformation, mercantilism, the transatlantic economy, Asian gunpowder empires, and everything in between. So people encouraged to sign up for this. And just listening to you kind of tying all of these threads together, I get a chance to talk with like mayors here in Chapel Hill and public figures. And it's always fascinating to me just how all of the threads of different issues in town tie together and how kind of overwhelming that can be. You're trying to tie together a whole bunch of threads just across the world over a 300-year period of history.
Yes.
How do you keep it together?
You know, that is a great question. it's you know, everyone has that skill, and it all makes sense in my brain. All the different layers, kind of one leads to another. And what I like to look at, as you and I have talked about before, similarities. How can we see everybody is roughly doing the same thing at the exact same time? Why are some better at it than others? And how do we look at things in the modern world? I don't want to get too, you know, unpolitical, but master of propaganda, might we not send our sister to the Olympics to flash over here where we're really trying to do something over here? How different is Vladimir Putin and his FSB pals from, you know, Peter the Great trying to rub out the Streltsy and the Boyers? So you see it, and to me it just makes sense, and it's the old saying, well, you know, if you don't pay attention to your history, it's going to repeat itself. Mm-hmm. Well, keep your eye on the ball, everyone. Keep your eye on the ball. So come and hear about it, and we'll tell you that and much, much more on Thursday night. So,
sounds good. Anyway, how do people get involved? How do people sign up? Where do people go?
They go to
classroom.
Yeah. Come to Chapel Hill High School between 6:45, 7 o'clock Thursday night. We have our National Honor Society students meeting you at the door. Very fine. Our key PTSA representative, Leanne Swanekamp, and I are upstairs. You can come in at the door, find a seat, bring popcorn and a Coca-Cola if you want, and
$20.
Yeah,
yes,
$20.
Yeah. Yeah. Not the barter system here. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I'll give you we'll give you a popcorn and a Coke for a lecture. No. $20 for each individual lecture, so show up. Yep. So this Thursday at 7 o'clock, next Thursday, March 1st at 7, the following Thursday, March 8th at 7 o'clock. Anything else that people need to know? Or
You know what? If you're not there, you're really going to want to kick yourself when you hear everybody talking about us. So show up and see. And also to celebrate the school. It helps the on the PTSA. So it's just a great thing, and I guarantee you're going to walk away pleased, and you're going to be able to learn something.
What's the second favorite story that you have that that you can share without spoiling the very best?
Okay, so, you know, there are confident guys and there are confident guys. And so you're Louis the 14th. And in order to get something from him and Peter the Great and Tokugawa Ieyasu gave birth to that saying, keep your friends close and your enemy. You're going to live right underneath me where I can watch you. But to get favors, you had to sing him lullabies at night.
Really?
And you had to sing Good Morning Sunshine and wake him up in the morning. And not to be too crude on radio, but he had somebody sit on his chamber pot to warm it up for him. It had to be a noble. How demeaning and degrading is that? But if you want to talk to me,
you gotta
this
sit
is what
on
you
got.
And the last thing, he wanted to play pirate, so they captured a Spanish galleon, and my man built a lake so he could run around and go, arg matey, walk the plank.
I thought Marie Antoinette was doing well with her little Hamlet out back. That's a cool
yeah,
story.
Yeah, you know, perfuming sheep is nothing compared to riding around on your own Spanish galleon. So.
Head to Chapel Hill High School this Thursday, next Thursday, the following Thursday. Again, $20 at the door, individual tickets. Bring popcorn, bring Coke. It's going to be a really, really great lecture. 7 p.m. all three weeks. Bill Malega, thank you so much.
Anytime, sir. Thank you.